Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
When we read this passage, there's something that sticks out. It's very repetitive. And there are two words that time and again appear, and the two words are remain. It appeared 10 times in these 17 verses. I just counted when Professor Luke was reading it. And then the other word that appeared, I think 9 times, fruitful. So when we look at this, it's obvious to us what Jesus was teaching was remaining in him and be fruitful. So for a branch that remains on the vine, of course, would have the life of the vine in the branch. This is where the vine is where the branch draws its nutrients, right? The water, or life-sustaining things that a branch would need to live. And because of that, when you receive the life-sustaining substance to live, then a normal, healthy, vibrant branch will be fruitful. Will be very fruitful, will bear much fruit. So Jesus says, I am the true vine. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior who died for our sins. That for us to believe in him, to be one of the branches on the vine, that we have this new life in him. And the purpose of our life would be to bear fruit, to bear much fruit. So it's important for us to, when we read, to think about life, the life of the branches, the life of the vine. So how often do you think about your life? You guys, most of you guys are fairly, well actually all of you guys are fairly young. So have you ever thought about your life? I bet you have. All of you, well, I have two children, right? My daughter, she's very independent. She's already 24. Very independent in Utah. Up till 6 years ago, Lucy and I, we were running our family business in apparel, importing sweaters. And because of my health, not doing too well in those days, 6 years ago, I closed it. One of the main reasons I closed it was because 6 years, 24 minus 6 is 18. So for the 18 years in my daughter's life and 13 years in my son's life, they never asked me a single question about business. They never asked anything about business. So I realized at that time that they're not interested in the business. So Lucy and I, we just closed the business. We went visited Stephanie in December, and in casual talk, well, you know, you don't tell your parents that much, right? In the process of talking with her, she says, oh, Dad, you know, me and my friend, this is the English, me and my friend, we're thinking about, like, opening a company of apparel, making t-shirts. We said, really? You know, you haven't asked a single question for 18 years, and now you're thinking about making t-shirts. Now, they don't make the t-shirts that you wear. I mean, that's not the t-shirt. The t-shirt they're talking about is 36 inches long, to your knee. They're making t-shirts for skiers. She's a big-time skier. So for skiers, you know, they fall, right? So they don't want to get wet. So they need a long t-shirt, they call it tall tee, covering most of the body. So she says, I'm thinking, you know, me and my friend, we're like, on weekends, we're screen printing, we're doing these for the t-shirt. She says, you know, our label, our brand, it's my life. I was very surprised. The label is my life. Now, I'm sure they have a different understanding of my life, because for them, it's skiing. Everything, the whole life is revolved around skiing. Okay, so it's the fun, it's the excitement, it's the adrenaline, it's hanging out with your friends, having a good time, having a blast. That's their life. Young people would have the same direction, right? Objective, to have fun, to be with your friends, with your buddies, to hang out. But we need to think about what other aspect of your life. So when we look at your life, what do we see? When we put your life up on YouTube, what do we see? I sympathize with you guys because I think only who was a senior? Who is a senior who, last time I was here, there was only one person. Jerry, okay. You're lucky. It's over for you, right? But I sympathize, I empathize with the younger ones because college application is so impossible. Okay? You know, you got to fill out the Common App, you got to fill out the college's supplement, you got to write your essays, you got to write your essay for the college, for the school, and you've got to write the essay for your college. Now, the newest thing, have you heard? YouTube. Have you heard? No? Some of the more selective universities are encouraging applicants to put up a 1-minute video on YouTube as a supplement to the application. Tufts University is one of them. And I read this in New York Times, February 22nd. They want you to put up 1-minute video of you on YouTube so that the admissions office can take a look and say, gee, you know, this kid is cool. We'll take him. See, I'm surprised because, you know, it seems to swing back and forth, right? You know, they don't even want your picture. They don't want you on your photo, right? They don't want to see how you look like. But now they want a video. They want to see how creative you are. So one of the ones was one of these girls who, she likes dancing. So she incorporated her dance moves to represent graphs, line curve, scatter plot. You know, New York Times are like, wow, cool, pie charts. I clicked on it. I said, gee, you know, it's New York Times is cool, it's got to be cool. Not impressive. All she does is this, right? So when the New York Times came out, it says she has 6,000 hits. This morning when I went to check, she has 76,000 hits. So when you put your 1-minute video on the screen, what does that show you? Bearing fruit is only the end goal of the branches. It's the end goal of the branches. And you got to go a long ways before you reach that end goal. So let's read what Jesus is teaching us. Sometimes you have to read the words that maybe appear once or twice, not like 9 times or 10 times. Verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. Verse 10. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Here they are, my words. My words remain in you. Obey my commands, you will remain in my love. Love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. My word, my love, my joy. So the end goal is being fruitful. But in order to, you know, sometimes we emphasize too much on the result, on the product, fruit. And we forgot, you need to do something before you get to that point. The Olympics, I don't know how many of you watched the Olympics. You said, wow, gold, man, they're good. You couldn't even imagine the amount of sacrifice they put in order to get that gold. And the disappointment after putting in all these efforts and not getting the gold. When you consider alpine skiing, right? The difference between the gold and the silver could be less than 0.1 second. That's it. The amount of sacrifice you have to put in before you can bear fruit. So that brings us to talk about remaining in Him, remaining in His words, remain in His love, and so that the joy may be in us. Remain in me. It's hard to explain to young people what that means. So I'll use an illustration about my cat. Some of you have heard, right? In November, I came here to fellowship. Lucy and I, the kids are gone, so we have a quiet home. We're not lonely, but we're quiet. But God is gracious, so He's blessed us with a little cat last year. In late August, August 26th, my anniversary day, all of a sudden when I look out on my deck, here's this yellow furry thing eating a leftover chicken bone. I said, what is this? So I opened up the door, and the cat went, very mean, scared me. I put out two more chicken wings. Within a second, it's gone. So from end of August to beginning of October, we fed this stray cat, this little cat, and he turned out to be 1 year old. Three meals a day, he would hide in the bushes when Lucy opened up the door, and yelled, Shadow, he came running out in the bushes. Three meals a day, we fed him. I grew up with a cat, so to me, having a cat is no problem, but Lucy didn't want any cat, any animals. So she steadfastly refused to take this cat, to adopt this cat. So eventually, her defense was kind of weakened by, you know, our nudging, my nudging, John and Stephanie's nudging. Because she kept taking pictures of this cat and she kept posting on her Facebook. And Stephanie said, Mom, adopt him already. It's obvious you love the cat. So beginning of October, we invited the cat into the home in the greenhouse. So the cat stayed a month in the greenhouse because we didn't know how, because it's a stray cat, right? You know how he was going to respond. He might scratch up all the furniture, John's piano, the grand piano. We didn't want that to happen. So we observed him. Very affectionate cat. You know, the cat I grew up with used to bite me, right? To bite me and like scratch me. This little guy, never. Okay? All he wanted was for us to pet him. So October to November, finally invited him into the home. Early November. In the beginning, oh, he can't go here. Oh, he can't sit there. Oh, he can't do this. Well, now the cat does whatever he wants. Goes anywhere he wants. The cat is very strange. They all have their own personality, but this particular one, he hangs out with us. Wherever we are, he is. So in the morning, in the daytime, if Lucy is on her computer, he will be sitting on a chair nearby. If I'm at home on my computer upstairs, he would be sleeping on a towel on my bed. He'd just be there. If I go downstairs for 2 minutes, I hear the little bell come down. He'll be looking for us. At night, I'm on my computer, and this is a lamp, right? I have a desk lamp. So he would jump up, plop himself right next to me so that I can work on my computer and I can stroke him. He enjoys that. He goes like, oh. When we leave home, like this morning, right? When we leave home, he would go out to the greenhouse and he would stand up looking until our car leaves. When we come home, he would wake up from his sleep. He'll wag his tail and welcome us. He's always with us. That is, it's not a physical presence, but it gets to the point that we think about the cat when we're away from home. The relationship with Christ, the relationship with God is the same way. It's a growing relationship. It's an evolving relationship. The longer you become a Christian, when you're in Him, you understand your Heavenly Father much better. So, even though this little cat, he doesn't speak, we talk to him, he doesn't understand, but he knows what we want him to do. We know what he wants. There's companionship, there's fellowship, and there's communication. Remain in him, and I will remain in you. And that's what it means. Remain in his word. If you remain in me, my words will remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and you will be given you. His words. Without his words in us as a foundation, our life will go nowhere. Because that's the foundation. That's the foundation of remaining in him. His words in us. Because otherwise, without his word, how does a branch, how does a bud grow into a shoot, into a branch? Into a branch that is vibrant, healthy, and bearing fruit. So without his word in us, without his teaching, without his life in our life, how are we different from non-believer friends? So I always like to observe the young people in my church as they come through, to see whether there's any change in their life, to see whether the words, God's words, the messages they've heard had started taking root in their hearts. So sometimes I'm thankful and sometimes I'm sad. This semester, two of my kids told me they passed, this is first time in their life they passed all their courses, all their classes. They never passed their classes. Okay? This time they passed all the classes. So I'm thankful for that. But then on the other hand, I noticed the last 2 months, a Christian who's going to Stony Brook, and a boy, and then I go to this other fellowship, City College, as an advisor to help them. And out of 30, God has blessed this fellowship. We had like 30 attendants in the fall. Out of 30, maybe 6 or 7 are Christians. So this girl, which from what I can tell, is a good Christian, the two of them use a four-letter word in the Facebook. Now, I don't know about you, okay? I confronted the kids at my church. I said, yeah, we often hear about these words, these foul language, to the point that it's acceptable. But no, for Christians, they are not acceptable. You cannot use these foul words. And they posted it on their Facebook. It's very sad for me. Christians that have this life in Christ cannot use foul language. Even your friends think you're not cool, you cannot use those languages. So, to use another analogy, if Christ's word is in you, would be just like a player on a good basketball team. The coach would draw up all the plays, the coach would explain, show you how these plays run. Eventually, automatically, you'll be running those plays. You wouldn't have to think about, oh, I'm supposed to go here, I'm supposed to go there. Everything becomes natural. That his words, the coach's teaching, has an impact on these players. So when his word permeates in our life, others can see whether we have the life of the branches, have the life of the vine in them. It says here, ask whatever you wish and it will be given. When you're in Christ, you know what to ask. And when you know what to ask and you ask for the right thing, it will be given to you. in our after school program, we had to use the computer. So we went online to look for material for the students for the homework and the project. And it gets to the point that we didn't want to, you know, we're told not to use the church's computer because the settings got changed. So we felt like, well, we were blamed for other people changing the settings, but it's okay. So we decided to say, okay, we'll ask for donations for laptops. If brothers and sisters have old laptops that they can, you know, give it to us, we'll take them so that we can go online. So we prayed about this, we asked for this, we got 6 old laptops, which is great that we only, you know, we can use to go online. We also, our pastor, John Ng, over after Christmas, got a box in his room, in his office. 3 computers, 3 laptops. Just say, Pastor John. Nothing else. He said, Felix, I don't know what to do with it. He said, so he announced to the congregation, I had 3 laptops. He didn't say laptops. He said, I got a box. All he said was, John Ng. Could the person please tell me what for? No one came out. He announced it for like a few weeks. Nobody came out. In the box was 3 new laptops. 3 new laptops. Now, I haven't seen them myself as yet, okay? But obviously, the individual intended this for the after-school program. Because the time that appeared was the time that we were asking for old laptops. But graciously, God has moved someone's heart to give us 3 new laptops. So now we have 9 laptops. It's amazing. So young Christians, I always try to get the young Christians, you know, to pray when you take exams. Doesn't mean that you don't have to study and then you ace it, right? But pray that God will give you this, you know, wisdom when you're looking at the exam to say, I should attack this problem this way. Or when you're studying, you study the right subjects, right? To study the right material. Because a lot of times I hear, I study all night and then the teacher didn't ask any of the questions. There are plenty of ways to learn how to pray. And when His Word is in you, then you know what to ask. The things you ask for will be the right thing, and then you'll be answered. You'll be given us. Remain in His joy. Again, with my little cat. You know, I'm boring. So all I do with him is this. I pet him. Lucy's different. Lucy's kind of bad. I mean, you don't know her, but she's kind of like mischievous. So she plays with the cat. I would be upstairs, and all of a sudden, downstairs is giggling, laughter. I said, Lou, what happened? She said, I was just playing with the cat. Joy, right? So 2 weeks ago, one of these bounty towels, when you're done, you get the cord, paper cord. She like put that on the cat's tail. The cat said, whoa, what happened to my tail? I don't see my tail. And he was like turning around trying to get to the core, and Lucy had such a blast. You know, the cat, I mean, it's a lot of trouble. The cat is a lot of trouble because like you got to take care of the cat, you got to clean the litter, you got to feed him. The cat doesn't do anything. Didn't give us anything Valentine's gift, right? Cat doesn't talk to us, but there's a lot of joy. A lot of joy, okay? And it's for us to figure out how to please God. God is interesting. You need to figure out how you can please God, bring joy to God. And then you realize that God's joy will be in you. Now, don't laugh, all right? The latest thing, it was a week ago, because the cat is going everywhere now, okay? So sometimes we see like black things here and there, it's not good. So in the morning, you know, this is every morning, Lucy will wash the cat's paws. Now, don't laugh, okay? So she would get a little plate of water, right, get a towel, she'll get the cat, and she'll get the hand, she'll put some water on the hand and clean it out, okay, clean the other one. And it's funny, when you come to the hind legs, by reflex, you know, when you hold it up and you put water on, the cat's paw is like that. It's all spread out for her to clean. And then while he was when Lucy was doing that, the cat would be hiding his head in under Lucy's elbow. The cat is having so much fun. Okay? That's how it is, okay? Our relationship with God, it's like remaining in Him, Him in us. It's not a simple physical presence, but there's interaction, there is fellowship, it's a growing relationship. So when you remain in Him, you get the joy from God. Because if we don't have joy, we're in trouble. We don't have joy from God in our heart, we're in trouble. We're no different from any human being. Chile, right? Chile, earthquake. Haiti, earthquake. What other natural disasters we talk about? In France, high winds, like 15, 17 people got killed. Life these days, it's not easy. It's a very complicated world out there. It's a very difficult world out there. Unless we have joy in us, His joy in us, we are not going to be a healthy branch. We're not going to be a vibrant branch. We'll become a sickly branch. We're not going to bear much fruit. So it's up to you, it's up to us to work on how do we bring joy to God, our Heavenly Father, and in turn His joy will be in us so that our joy may be complete. Remain in His love. Now this is most difficult, right? We talk about love, we don't know how to deal with it. It's all, a lot of times we just say it, we don't know how to express it, we don't know how to carry it out. But the young people I work with, that's the most important thing for them, the love. Joy is important, but love, they're like around 20 year old, so they're all looking for love. Whether they're a boy or a girl, they're all looking for love. The boys would like to have a steady girlfriend, the girl would like to have a steady boyfriend. It's natural, it's good. We look for love, but we look for love in the wrong place. Christ said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. When he was going to wash the disciples' feet, he said Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. John 10, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The parable of the prodigal son, the younger son asked the father to give him half of the possession, and he took off and he squandered it. But when he decided to come home on a long ways off, the father saw him. And instead of getting upset, there he is, I told you, you shouldn't have gone home, you shouldn't have left me and took half of the possession. I told you, you're going to waste it. No, the father didn't do that. The father ran up. He ran up to the son. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. And he ordered the servants to bring out the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on him and sandals on his feet, and the fattened calf, so that he would have a feast to celebrate, because this son was lost and is found. That's how the father loved this younger son. He didn't say, you messed up, good, stay out. How about the older brother, the older son? Well, he was no bargain. He was upset. He was jealous. When he came from the field, he heard all these noise, all these dancing. He got upset. He said, he told the father, I've been slaying for you all these years. And yet, you never give me a young goat to celebrate with my friends. I don't believe that. You know that? I don't believe that. If the father could do what he did for the younger son, he would do the same thing for the older son. The father loved the younger son and loved the older son. But you know what? How about the two brothers? Do they love each other? They didn't. So even if we have the Father's love, Heavenly Father's love, even if we have Christ's love, but we don't love each other, it's all for naught. Because he said, obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. As Christ obeyed the Father's command, we need to obey his command. And his command is, love each other as I have loved you. It's very difficult because we tend to love the people we love. We love the people who love us. It's very difficult for us to have the lesson to love each other, even people we don't like. I have different kind of students who come to me. Some, it's very difficult to love. It's very, very difficult to love. There was one person, one student, who got falsely arrested in January. She was walking down the street. She's a student, 20-year-old. She's walking down the street. She saw two Caucasian men holding down a Chinese vendor. So she thought that these Americans were bullying the Chinese. So she stood there. And not knowing English, the two Americans were doing this and talking to her in English. She barely knew any English, so she stood there. Before she knew it, uniformed cops came and arrested her. She was, it turned out that those two Americans were plainclothesmen. They were arresting the street vendor. So I was helping her. And so she didn't know anything. She didn't know what she was charged with. She didn't know her lawyer. And her court date was coming up. And so I said, okay, we'll meet Tuesday from 10:30 to 11. We'll meet at church, and then we'll go to the courts to find out who your lawyer is, because her court date was coming up the next day. 10:30, I got to church at 10:20. I waited. 11:30, she didn't show up. 11:40, I had lunch with Pastor John A. So I said, let's go out, have lunch. When I got to the restaurant around 12:20, my phone started ringing. She overslept. It's very difficult. Sometimes it's very difficult. But you know what? That's the teaching from Christ. Love each other. Do the best you can. Learn to love the other person, regardless whether how they are, who they are. Now it turned out that the prosecutor knew that they didn't have any grounds, so they dropped the most severe charge, which is obstruction of justice, which is, you know, you can go to jail for that. They dropped it. And because we found a witness for her, at first the prosecutor wanted a disorderly conduct charge, 2 days community service. So now they're talking about even dropping that. So that's, I'm thankful for that. Okay? But the lesson here is, whatever situation you're in, learn to love the other person, no matter how difficult it is. Because that's what Christ wants from us. That's what Christ himself did, is to love us, even though we are not that lovable for him. Finally, bearing fruit that will last. I'm the true vine. My Father is the gardener. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. On and on and on, talking about bearing fruit. What is fruit? You know, Jesus didn't define what is fruit. It could be fruit of the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit in us. It could be you serving other people. You could commonly think about leading other people to Christ. That's bearing fruit. Or you can be active ministry, leading songs. We don't know what is bearing fruit. But one characteristic of fruit is it propagates life. Whatever we do in our life that propagates life in Christ, that's bearing fruit. So let's not worry about what is the definition of bearing fruit. Let's worry about being a vibrant, healthy branch. Because a vibrant, healthy branch on the vine will automatically bear fruit. And in order to be a healthy, vibrant branch, you need Christ's word in us, his joy in us, and his love in us. And as long as we remain in him and work toward having his words, his joy, his love in us, we will be a branch that bears fruit. So hopefully in 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when I come here and see everybody, we'll see God's life in all these branches.